Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're digging into information that matters to you, and today, well, we've got a formal complaint filed with the Stuttgart Bar Association. It's from a listener.
That's right. We're looking closely at allegations against a lawyer, Anna O. Orloa, and her firm, Rexis Rechtsanwaltsgesellschaft. It's all based on this detailed complaint document.
So our mission is to unpack these claims, figure out what they could mean, and, you know, see what the key takeaways are for you.
Exactly. Let's dive in.
Okay. First allegation. This one's interesting. The firm allegedly sent a paid mandate offer. We're talking 833 euro to the email address of the complainant's mother-in-law.
Who had already passed away.
Right. The complainant says this lack of basic checking violates professional rules, specifically Section 11 BRO and Section 43A BROO.
It definitely raises questions about due diligence, you know, the basic steps you'd expect a firm to take before offering a paid service, especially verifying if the recipient is, well, present.
You'd think so. Okay, allegation two, misleading advertising.
Ah, yes, the free initial consultation advertised on their website.
But according to the complaint, no free consultation happened. Instead, they apparently just sent that paid offer via email directly.
Which, if true, could be seen as, well, misleading. Potentially an issue under unfair competition law, Section 5 UWG. It's about truthful advertising.
It seems like a disconnect between the promise and the practice alleged here.
Definitely.
Now, things take a more serious turn. Allegation 3, personality violation and real danger.
This is about the complainant's project, fdcoin.de. It was apparently linked publicly to cryptocurrency fraud in online articles.
Without any court decision, legal basis, or even giving the complainant a chance to respond first. That's the claim.
And critically, the complainant's full name, address, domain, email, it was all public via the website's legal notice. Easily accessible.
So this implied prejudgment, as the complaint calls it, allegedly wrecked their reputation, destroyed their business model.
And led to actual threats, stalking, anonymous threats, because frustrated investors apparently thought the complainant was the fraudster.
That's incredibly serious. Real-world danger to them and their family, based on potentially unfounded online accusations. Highlights the power and danger of online information, doesn't it?
It really does. It underscores the potential gravity when public accusations are made, especially without, you know, proper legal findings. Due process matters.
And the consequences continued. Allegation 4, a communication blockade.
Yeah, the complainant says they were cut off from their official work email and phone because of these public defamations.
Causing more professional and personal damage, essentially isolating them. Mm-hmm. They even had to provide alternative contact details in the complaint itself.
It just adds another layer to the alleged harm, making it harder for them to manage the situation or their business.
Okay, then there's jurisdiction. Allegation 5. This is more procedural.
Right. It just clarifies that Orloa's firm is based in Esslingen, which falls under the Stuttgart Bar Association's oversight. So that's why the complaint went there.
And it also mentions potential civil court action as another avenue for the complainant, just laying out the legal landscape.
Exactly. Context for where this formal complaint fits.
And the demand. Allegation 6. What does the complainant actually want the Bar Association to do?
They're formally asking for an investigation into what they call a serious professional violation. They want disciplinary proceedings initiated under Section 73 BRAO.
And they want the bar to assess if Orloa is still professionally suitable under Section 14 BRAO. Pretty clear demands.
Very clear. They're seeking formal action and accountability from the regulatory body.
And finally, evidence. Allegation 7, they state they have proof.
Yes, they list several items they can provide. The original email offer sent to the deceased person, proof of death.
Screenshots of the website, the defamatory articles, proof of the reputational damage like Google results, domain associations.
Even documentation of communication issues with their bank. So they seem prepared to back up their claims with evidence if requested.
Which is crucial for any formal complaint, obviously.
Absolutely. Allows the Bar Association to look into the facts.
Okay, so let's recap quickly. We've got the mandate offer sent without ID checks, the potentially misleading free consultation ad, serious defamation claims leading to real danger, communication blockades, jurisdiction details, specific demands for action.
And the promise of evidence to back it all up. Taken together, these allegations raise some significant questions about professional conduct in the digital age.
Definitely. The intersection of alleged professional negligence, advertising practices, and the severe personal fallout from online defamation is quite something.
It really brings us to the aha moment, or maybe a point for reflection for you, listening.
What's that?
Well, in this digital world we all navigate, what are the evolving responsibilities of professionals, especially regarding verifying identity and the ethics of their online statements and communications?
And maybe, what options do people really have when they feel those responsibilities haven't been met and they're facing serious consequences like this?
Exactly. Something to think about.